Sushvanavishya purushastat asat guneshu Pati.
Ekasvameva bhavanu nidamatma satyam. Maya kayo Sisvanavishya purushastatta sattuneshu Nane vadarushu vivava suvadhivati
Eka
Eka
Vam
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 Yu
Yu
Eva
Eva
Certainly
Certainly
Bhagavan
Bhagavan
Oh my Lord
Oh my Lord
Nidam
Nidam
This material world
Atmashaktya Atmashaktya
By your own potency
By your own potency
Maya
Maya Maya Kya
By the name Maya
By the name Maya
Guru
Guru
Greatly powerful
Greatly powerful
Gunaya
Gunaya
Consisting the modes of nature
Consisting the modes of nature
Nagari
Mahatattva
etc
Mahatma
Asesham,
Asesham,
unlimited,
Krishna,
Sushta,
after creating,
Anuvishya,
Anuvishya,
then after entering,
then after entering,
Purusha,
Purusha,
Super Soul,
Super Soul,
Tat,
Tat,
Avmaya,
Avmaya,
Asat Guneshu,
Asat Guneshu,
into the temporarily manifest qualities,
into the temporarily manifest qualities,
Nana,
Nana,
variously,
variously,
Eva,
Eva,
as if,
as if,
Darushu,
Darushu,
in pieces of wood,
in pieces of wood,
Vibhava Suvat.
Vibhava Suvat.
Just like fire.
Just like fire.
Vibhasi.
Vibhasi.
You appear.
You appear.
Translation, my Lord, you are the Supreme One, but by your different energies, you appear differently in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency, and after creation, you enter within the material world as the Super Soul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary moments of material nature, you create varieties of manifestation, just as fire entering into wood in different shapes burns brilliantly in different varieties. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj realized that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of God, attacks to his different energies, not that he becomes void or impersonal, thus becomes all-pervading. The Mayavadi philosopher thinks that the Absolute Truth being spread throughout the cosmic manifestation has no personal form. But here Dhruva Maharaj, upon realization of the Vedic conclusion, says you are spread all over the cosmic manifestation by your energy. This energy is basically spiritual, but because it acts in the material world temporarily, it is called Maya or illusory energy. In other words, for everyone but the devotees, the Lord's energy acts as external energy. Dhruva Maharaj could understand this fact very nicely, could understand also that the energy and energetic are one and the same. The energy cannot be separated from the energetic. The identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feature of Paramatma or Super Soul is illustrated here. His original spiritual energy enlivens the material energy, and thus the dead body appears to have life force. Vedic philosophers think that under certain material conditions, the symptoms of life occur in the material world. But the fact is that the material body cannot act on its own. Even a machine needs separate energy, electricity, steam, etc. It is stated in this verse that the material energy acts in varieties of material bodies, just as fire burns differently in different wood according to the size and quality of the wood. In the case of devotees, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. This is possible because the energy is originally spiritual, not material. As it is said, Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta, the original energy, inspires the devotee, and thus he engages all his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. The same energy as external potency engages the ordinary non-devotee material activities for sense enjoyment. We should mark the difference between Maya and Svadhamma for devotees. The Svadhamma acts, whereas in the case of non-devotees, the Maya energy acts. Translation, my Lord, you are the Supreme One, but by your different energies, to appear differently in the spiritual material worlds. You create total energy of the material world by your external potency, and after creation, enter within the material world as the super soul. You are the supreme person, and through the temporary modes of material nature, you create varieties of manifestation. It's just fire entering into wood in different shapes, burns brilliantly in different varieties. So this is Dhruva praising the Supreme Lord. So he addresses him as Bhagavan, and he defines him as being one. There is only one entity who is Bhagavan. So there are not many Bhagavans, there is only one. Which means one Supreme Lord. That is, of course, does not mean that he cannot have various forms, but it is one entity, Supreme Lord. So we cannot say there are many Bhagavans. There's one Bhagavan, and he has many forms like Rama and Narasimha and Varaha and Matsya and Purva and Krishna, etc. So one Bhagavan can have many forms. So when we talk about oneness, then if there is only one Supreme Lord, what else exists? So the theory of Shankara and others is that nothing else exists. Only the Brahman exists. That oneness exists and nothing else exists. Here, Dhruva says, no, you exist as Supreme Lord, but you also have energies, Atma Shaktis. And by this, this energy you create or you manifest the Mahatattva, etc. Endowed with gunas. So, this manifestation of the material world is not an illusion. For the Lord exists and matter exists. And by his energy, the Lord manifests this material world. Then again, at creating that material world, he enters into it. The world is not false. He creates or manifests the material world, and then he enters into it as Purusha. In the form of Garbhadakshaya and Shiradakshaya and Vishnu. What does he do? He manifests various forms of the material world. A great variety of forms according to the gunas. So the Lord manifests material forms and qualities, etc. At the same time, he is also Supreme Lord. He is separate from this creation. So, we have Supreme Lord, we have his expansions, the Purusha avatars, we have matter, and we have the manifestation of matter as material worlds with material bodies and all sorts of variety in it. So these are all existing things. But the Lord is the controller of matter. So he is instrumental in manifesting material worlds and the bodies within the material worlds. So therefore refers to the Shakti of the Lord, his own Shakti. By his Shakti, he makes this material world manifested, and then he enters into it and does creates further variety through the Purusha avatars. And the example of is given of fire in various types of wood. So the Lord is like fire, and the gunas and various aspects of the material world are like the different types of wood. So the Lord is within the wood, but we can't see it all the time. We have a piece of wood, we don't see the fire there, but nevertheless the fire is there, and under certain conditions the fire appears in the wood. So the Supreme Lord also is hidden within the material world. He pervades the material world in all its forms, just as fire pervades different types of wood. So we have a variety of forms in the material world. Nevertheless, the Lord pervades all of this, just as fire pervades all sorts of wood. So in this way, the Lord exerts his control over everything, by his pervasion in the material world. As Purusha Avatar, he has a control of everything. And so matter is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. It is dependent on the Lord for its manifestation. The Lord manifests material worlds, and it is dependent on the Lord for its support. Therefore, the Lord must pervade everything in the material world and give it support. And without the existence of the Lord, nothing really can maintain its qualities and form. So it is due to the Supreme Lord that we have the manifestation of the material world, etc. So in doing all these activities, the Lord is real, and matter is real, and the forms are real. But the forms are temporary. And again, the Lord will destroy them. He will, first he creates, he maintains, and then he destroys all the forms in the material world. So this verse illustrates the basic philosophy. Supreme Lord, matter, the matter is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. It is real, but it is also dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So therefore, that dependence is shown by the power of the Lord over matter. He makes it manifest, he enters it, maintains it, and he also destroys it. So matter is not independent of the Lord. It is also different from the Lord. It doesn't mention here, but we know that Mahat, etc., Mahat, Tattva, Ahankara, the senses, sense objects, material elements, mind, they're all Achit. They have no consciousness at all. So on their own, they're actually helpless. So we'll have seen, we saw in the third canto and in the second canto, many descriptions of material elements. And on their own, they do nothing. And only when the Lord enters into them, then they're able to combine together and produce proper forms, bodies, etc. So the matter is there, but it is useless on its own. It has no power to combine together and make particular forms. So all the forms are actually manifested because of the presence of the Supreme Lord and the will of the Supreme Lord. So matter is quite different from the Supreme Lord. There is another element or object. We have the Lord and we have material energy. And then we have the jiva. So the jiva also is another element, important element. That jiva is different from matter because it is conscious. And it's different from the Supreme Lord because it's also dependent on the Supreme Lord. But the Lord is one, the jivas are many. They're both conscious and similar in many ways, but there's one Lord, there's many jivas, and the jivas are also dependent on the Supreme Lord. They do not exist independently of the Lord. Therefore we have Supreme Lord, we have jiva, and we have matter. So these are the basic components. And they're actually all eternal. The Lord is eternal, jivas are eternal, and matter also is eternal. So no creation at all. Even though it says Shrishta here, he creates. He manifests. Out of property, he manifests Mahatattva, etc. He never doesn't create property. Property is eternal. So matter in its basic form is always there. Nothing manifests except by the Lord's presence. Similarly, the jivas, even though they're eternal and not created, they will manifest in the material world by the Lord. It is the Lord who places the jivas in property and starts the material creation. The jivas cannot go there on their own, matter cannot do it on its own. It requires the will of the Lord. Then the jivas enter into matter. So the jivas also are not powerful. They cannot carry out creation or anything. It is the Supreme Lord that must do this. So he activates material energy and he activates the jivas, and they're able to carry out their work in the material world. So just as the Lord enters into matter and supports matter in all of its forms in the material world, like fire and wood, so he also enters into all the jivas and acts as the witness and support for the jivas to fulfill their desires, etc. So the Lord not only pervades matter, he also pervades all the jivas in the material world. And when it's time for destruction, matter disappears devolves into property. Universes disappear, lokas disappear, bodies disappear. But the jivas cannot be dissolved or altered in any way. So they remain. So the jivas are not unmanifested in one sense. They're always there. But they're unmanifest in the sense that they enter into Mahavishnu and they rest there. Then again, when the Lord wills it, then he places these jivas back into property and the creation goes on again. So all three are indestructible, but matter and jivas are dependent on the Supreme Lord. It is by his will that the jivas enter into matter. So why do the jivas enter into matter? And why the Lord does that is because the jivas desire so. They desire that. There are other jivas who are not in the material world and never enter into the material world. These are the Nityasiddha jivas. So they are completely separate. They do not enter into the material world except if the Lord enters, then they may enter into the material world with the Lord for particular lila. Otherwise, they're completely separate. So we have two types of jivas. We have the Nityasiddha jivas, and then we have the jivas who are Nityabhadna, those in the material world. So, can the jivas go from one place to the other? Yes, the jivas in the material world can go to the spiritual world, but they have to qualify. So therefore, we have a process for entering the spiritual world and becoming siddha. So that process is bhakti. And can the jivas from the spiritual world go to the material world? Yes, if the Lord has pastimes, then those jivas may also come with the Lord. But they remain nitya siddha. They never become contaminated by the material world. So that is the distinction between the two types of jivas. Those in the material world are covered over by maya. Those in the spiritual world are not. And those in the spiritual world cannot be overcome by maya. They're always with the Lord. So the whole purpose of scripture is to encourage the jivas in the material world to get to the spiritual world. And that is done through the process of bhakti, or gradually through the process of karma, jnana, yoga, and then bhakti. So this is the what we call the avidyaya. We have the sambandha, the Lord, matter, and jivas. We have avidyaya, the process of bhakti to get the spiritual world. And then what is the goal? What is the point of being in the spiritual world? There is prema. The perfection of bhakti is prema, by which the jiva gets ananda or bliss. So these are the basic elements of the philosophy which are expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, Nityasiddhas, as I say, usually come with the Supreme Lord when he enters his pastimes. Because they cannot bear separation from the Lord. But it doesn't necessarily that get the spiritual world and say that, does it?
Yeah,
it does. No. So it's just prediction that someone will do something. That doesn't mean it's their Nityasiddhas. They are Munjars. Lord Chaitanya, they're associates of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is avatar of the Lord, so he has Nitya Siddhas around him. It's not impossible because the Lord can accommodate anything, anywhere.
That's a lot of... No, I didn't know.